My next guest is on the line. He is Anton Barber and Harbour, and he is a media scholar and journalism expert. And I wanted his opinion. I want him to weigh in on the issue that has been making news today, yesterday, about Deborah Patter having been dismissed by CBS News. I'm not sure what exactly has been found as fact or not. We'll get into that now. But I want to talk about the ethics of the situation. Anton Harbour, thank you for chatting to me this afternoon.
Good afternoon, and good afternoon to your listeners.
So, as I said, I'm unsure as to what is factually 100% correct in this particular instance or not at this point. It appears to be that Deborah Patter interviewed Mike Huckabee. The edited version of the interview that was broadcast or printed was different to that apparently Huckabee sent out a full transcript of the interview the next day, and it was a very different interview. So clearly there's a important ethical question to be raised here. And I'd love you to weigh in on what are the main ethical considerations journalists should keep in mind when interviewing high-profile figures?
So, as I understand it, CBS has been retrenching a number of journalists, and Deborah is one of them.
Yes.
So to be clear, that I think there are about 120 journalists who were let go. What was strange about her case was that she wasn't on the first list of those to leave. Somebody on the list went to speak to the new editor-in-chief, who's known to be a MAGA supporter, so to speak, and said, but why am I on the list? I am fervently pro-Israel. And next thing, that person was taken off the list and Deborah was put there. Yes, it came after she had been, she did some hard questioning in her interview around Israel. But I'm just giving you the sequence of events. I have no doubt that what's happening at CBS, very sadly and very unfortunately and very unethically, is that the new editor-in-chief is targeting journalists and correspondents who are critical of Israel.
That's an interesting approach to have taken. I hear where you're coming from. I understand where you're coming
from.
It's
the fact.
Well, it's also a fact that Deborah Patter edited an interview that did not align with a transcript as provided by Mike Huckabee the next day. And it was a very different interview. A very different interview.
No, look,
it's different nuance.
This is a common attack from the Trumpians.
It's very easy.
Hold on, let me talk. This is a common attack from the Trumpians that it didn't align. But of course, every interview is edited, and the question is whether it's edited and portrayed fairly. I mean, most interviewees don't like the way their interviews are edited, and that was a line of attack from Trump that was really shown in the case that he raised to be invalid. Now, Deborah is a good, reputable, solid journalist known for her professionalism and her ethics. So one needs to keep that in mind.
It's just interesting because you've spoken about Barry Weiss's political approach, and I would imagine her unconscious biases, or conscious biases for that matter.
Conscious biases.
But likewise, you would imagine that Deborah Patter has the same thing. So how does one manage? You've been in this situation. Let's talk about you. If you were confronted with a situation of a journalist editing an interview, what are the guidelines, what are the procedures editorially that one provides in circumstances like this?
The guidelines is to be as fair as possible in editing the interview, and to be as fair as one can in reflecting the views of the person one's interviewing. Now, if they had a problem with that interview, then there are procedures they should go through to verify it against the transcript and take disciplinary action. But the reason I doubt it is because I know Deborah to be a journalist of great repute. And I know this is a common line of attack that's been aimed particularly at CBS. And in previous cases, it's really been invalid and abused, as was the case with the interview with Pamela Harris. So you have to understand and see it in the context that they're very sadly, very unfortunately, there's deliberate moves to shift things, not to be fair and balanced within CBS, but to shift it in one particular direction, and it's doing great harm to CBS and the reputation of its news operation.
When you were speaking to your journalists in the newsroom, how did you counsel them in order to be as impartial as possible and how to manage their own biases?
Well, I think you have to be self-aware. You have to understand your own biases in order to deal with them. And you're subjected to editorial scrutiny by those around and above you to keep a check that when you're doing an interview, for example, you're asking tough questions and you're asking hard questions, but you're not crossing the line in being unfair in what you're saying. But I think the first root of it is that one tells people, you have to be self-aware, aware that we all have biases and we all have prejudices, and that we have to be conscious of those when one's assessing if one's treating someone fairly, and one has editors and colleagues who help one in making those assessments.
And then, having provided that information to the journalist, I'm just following this through and trying to get my head around the issue itself. So what responsibility then would the news organization have to support the journalist in a situation like that?
No, there's no question. If it's been through editorial scrutiny and it's considered good and professional, then they 100% should be giving support to the journalist.
Would it be usual that a story of a importance such as that story would have gone through editorial scrutiny?
Of course it would. Of course it would. Nothing goes on air without close editorial scrutiny. There's layers of scrutiny. And since issues of this sort are particularly sensitive, there's generally multiple layers of scrutiny. But if CBS had felt that their editors had failed to scrutinize and balance it properly, then they would be saying that and taking action to have her correct and apologize.
So kind of related to that again, and I'm just trying to get this sorted in my own mind, where is the line drawn between editorial oversight and censorship?
No, I mean, they're very different. Censorship is an outside attempt to manipulate or hide information. Internally, editors have to make choices all the time, and journalists have to make choices all the time about what and how they cover things. And those are editorial decisions. They only become censorship if they're motivated by pressure to suppress information in the public interest.
And then, and again, I'm sure you've experienced this in your many years in newsrooms. How does one handle an internal dispute between, say, yourself, the editor, and the reporting journalist?
No, in the end, it's the editor's decision. But presumably that when it's a senior experienced person like Deborah Patter, it's done in consultation and hopefully in consensus with her. And if it was inaccurate, I think she would accept that she has to correct and apologize. But in the end, the editor has to make a decision and take responsibility for the final responsibility for the content. And let me explain to you, the reason I'm very concerned is that we've seen a systematic attempt to take control of CBS News, and it's being done in the name of trying to achieve balance, but I don't believe that. I believe that all the indications are that it's actually an attempt to force outlets like CBS to stop being critical of Trump, his administration, and his policies.
That's an interesting thought. I mean, I would agree with you that some time ago, I would definitely have thought that Barry Weiss was in the MAGA camp, not to the extent of somebody like a Batya Argon, what's her name? I mean, she's really MAGA. I think she has really, really altered her views in the past couple of months. I think if one reads what she's writing, she seems terribly concerned about the rise of anti-Semitism within the MAGA movement, and she's warning about it quite loudly.
Yes.
It's not an uncritical... Yeah.
There has been developments in her thoughts, but there's no question in my mind that she was put there as part of an attempt through legal and political pressure and action and financial pressure and action and threats to CBS's license to try and pull them broadly in line with the MAGA agenda. And mostly what we see is Trump and those around him lashing out against those who are critical of him. And I think what we're seeing is very much a part of that.
It's difficult out there in a world that is so incredibly polarized, a world that the algorithm is making it more increasingly difficult to talk to each other and to adopt very polarized views. It's not an easy place to be, no matter what your philosophy is, I would imagine.
No, it's not easy, but it's particularly difficult in a place where you have a president who's clearly abusing his powers to lashing out against his critics widely among journalists and politically and legally, you know, his legal opponents. It's very disturbing and very worrying, and it makes life, what you're seeing is a diminution of what was a model for the for free press around the world. You're seeing attacks on universities and the press and prosecutors in a country where we understood them to be relatively free, and we're seeing that freedom being taken away.
I'm going to leave it there this afternoon. There's lots of food for thought there. Thank you for your time this afternoon, Anton Harbour.